met Cobams a couple of years back, maybe 8 years or thereabouts. And I'm just amazed at what God has done in his life. You know, a few weeks ago, he was in our church, and I was telling people in church that maybe I should actually go blind, you know, because when I see what God is doing in his life, you know, for if you want to do a song, if you go to him and say, you know, you want to record a song, he's going to charge you $1,000, you know, and that doesn't even include studio fee. I'm not making that kind of money yet, so that's why I said maybe I should. Praise the name of the Lord. Today, Pastor mentioned that we're going back to the basics, and that I should talk about worship. And there are 8 things I want to talk about worship. I haven't come here to teach you how to sing. And just in case, just so you know that worship is not just about singing. I usually tell people that if worship was about singing, then the people who are deaf and dumb don't have a chance, you know. But they worship God in their own right. The thing about worship, number one, that we need to realize is that worship defies definition, because the object of our worship cannot be defined. A God cannot be put in a box. I'm sure Pastor Shola knows that many times, maybe when we gave our lives to Christ, we had theories and all of these things. We believe that God always moved in this way. But see, God is bigger than our theories. You know, God is a God of mercy. He's sovereign. You know, as a pastor now, many years ago, when somebody did something really terrible, you want to come down heavily on that person. But then, as time goes on, you realize that there's sin and there's a sinner. You know, and that's the thing about God. You know, man would rather pursue the 99 that stays and forget about the one. After all, that's still an A. That's an A+. But with God, God says he will pursue the one, and the 99 can still stay. Can you see that? you know, so, I mean, God cannot be put in a box. I mean, I've a couple of years ago, I realized that definitions are really limiting. If I said to you today that what is faith, a lot of you would quote Hebrews 11:6, I think. Faith is the substance of blah, 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 and the faith of blah, blah, blah. Okay? Now, let me give you an example of what faith is that Jesus Christ explained. Do you remember the story of this guy who was paralyzed, and his friends were trying to get Jesus, their friend, into where Jesus was? The place was packed full, and they couldn't find a way. So guess what they did? They went through the roof, destroyed the roof, and lowered him. And the Bible says, and Jesus saw their faith. Destroying somebody's roof is actually faith. You know? But so you ask yourself, does that really praise the name of the Lord? So God, worship cannot be defined in terms of, oh, worship is this, is singing slow songs, and all of that. Let's look at 2 scriptures. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5. Nehemiah 9, verse 5. I'm reading from the New King James Version. We'll have a couple of versions I read from. It says, and the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabneah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, wonderful names, Pethahiah, said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is what? Exalted above all blessing and praise. So you see, God's name is exalted far above all blessing and praise. God's name is exalted far above all blessing and praise. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's look at Romans 11:33-36. Romans 11:33-36, I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, all the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Now, many times, a lot of people, you know, I don't know who you think God is, but, you know, especially in Pentecostal settings, you know, we reduce God to the level of what we want, to the level of our breakthrough. But here's what I know about God. Listen, if God doesn't give me a breakthrough, God is still God. You need to understand that God is God. You know, if I die today of a terminal disease, God is God. You see, before I was, he was. And when I'm gone, he still will be. So, you know, we need to settle that. And Sometimes we get descriptions of God from our pastor or our general overseer, but I think the best description about God can be given by God himself. So let's hear what God has to say about himself. From the book of Job, reading chapter 38, we all know what happened to Job. In a couple of days, stuff went bad. I mean, I always pray to God. You know, I have this joke that I share with God. I'm always telling him that, God, please, when next Satan comes, please, I'm begging you, don't mention my name. You know, because that's exactly what happened to Job. Have you considered my servant Job? I'm just begging, please don't ask him. Have you considered my servant Wale? Please don't let it happen, okay? Praise the Lord. All right, so Job 38. stuff happened, and wife says, you know, why don't you just curse God and die? His friends came, were talking theories they didn't know anything about. And then finally in Job 38, it says, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Then God teases him. Teases him a lot in the scripture. Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness. When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place. When I said, this far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place? That it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it. I love verse 16. Let me jump there. It says, have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep? Verse 17, scary. Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Verse 19, what is the way to the abode of light? And where does darkness reside? Can you take them to their places? So what it's saying is darkness. Say, come here. Yeah, go there. Do you know the paths to their dwellings? Surely you know, for you were already born. You have lived so many years. Verse 22, have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hill, which are reserved for times of trouble, for days of war and battle? What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm to water a land where no one lives, an uninhabited desert, to satisfy a desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass? Verse 28, does the rain have a father? Who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? I love verse 33. Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with the flood of water? Verse 35 is the one I love the best. It says, do you send lightning bolts on their way and they report to you? Here we are. I mean, read that. Read chapter 38 and 39. Then you see God in new light. And that should definitely affect your worship. So see, God is not just a good provider who butters our bread and sugars our tea. See, God is bigger than that. In fact, those of you who have worked with God will realize that sometimes God uses thorns. God is the creator of thorns. And sometimes some stuff goes bad. But when you look back in retrospect, you know that it was God that was making all things work together for good. That's the truth. So God is beyond definition. And so therefore, our worship cannot be put in a box. Number two, worship, like I said, is not about the songs that we sing. In fact, I lead worship. I still lead worship, even in church, because I believe that is what God has called me to do primarily. I was telling Tukubo yesterday that, not that I'm not happy pastoring, but you know, I just hope that I go back to my life, you know. praise the name of the Lord. One day I was leading worship, and God, I was singing a song. Lord, I give you my life, I give you my soul. And I just sensed God says to me, you're not serious. You're not serious. So this song you're singing, you're not serious. And He started to break down the song, and I realized that I wasn't serious, especially when it came to the chorus. You know, I shared the story in the CD that I brought this morning. The trouble is in the chorus where it says, Lord, I give you my heart. Okay, that's true. The lie starts when we start singing, Lord, I give you my soul. Because the soul is the seat of your intelligence, your emotions, and all that. Then the lie really intensifies when you say, I live for you alone. Is that true? Can anybody here say, I live for God alone? If you really do, lift up your hands so we can throw a shoe at you like the guy who threw a shoe at George Bush the other day. Then the lie really gets hot. Every breath that I take. Then it gets worse. Every moment I'm awake. Allergy. But hey, now shouldn't we sing the song anymore? We should, because God opened my eyes to see that the truth to that song is embedded in the first line and the last line. It says, this is my desire. This is where I want to be. So worship is a journey. And then the last line says, Lord, have your way in me. This is not where we are. We're not there yet. We're going there. And that's why you need to understand that. You see, when we're worshiping God, God really is not primarily listening to the songs that we're singing. He's looking into our hearts. I'm sure you all know that song. I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Listen, in Amos 5, 22-24, you hear God say, even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice offerings, I will have no regard for them. It says, away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. It says, but let justice roll on like a river. Righteousness like a never-failing stream. Matthew 15:7-9 says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Praise the Lord. The third thing about worship that we need to know is that worship is about giving up the dearest things to us. You know, if you don't get anything today, get this one. Worship is about giving up the dearest things. And don't be scared. I'm not raising an offering. The first time the word worship was mentioned in the Bible had to do with Abraham giving up his only son. Now, you see, God is very funny. He said to Abraham, Genesis 22:1-5. He said, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said, God is always testing us. God is always testing me. And we have to pass the test. And your test is different from mine. He said to Abraham, here I am, he replied. And then God said, take your son, your only son. You see, if God had just said, take your son, who do you think Abraham had said? He said, Ishmael, come here. Hey. Since all these days, yeah, come here. He said, take your son, your only son. So God qualifies. Then he goes and says, the one whom you love. And then he mentions it by name, Isaac. Now go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain. He doesn't even tell him where he's going. He just says, just go. On the mountain, I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, it took 3 days for Abraham to actually have an idea where he was going. On the third day, he looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, now listen to this. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Now, you see, he wasn't psyching his subordinates. He was really going to kill Isaac. Because if you read the book of Hebrews or thereabouts, Paul writes, he says that, listen, God had already given him a promise that he was going to be the father of many nations. And so he set out to obey that he had received, that even though he would kill Isaac, he had received him back figuratively, that God was able to raise him from the dead. Now here's what I say. This is not in the scriptures, but here's a theory that I have. I say to myself that, you see, even if God wasn't going to give up Jesus Christ, right, to come and die for our sins, you see, there was a man on the face of the earth who already given up his only son. There was no way God wouldn't have done it. Do you get what I'm saying? Because there was a man who had, and that is why when you read that scripture, it says, at that point when Abraham was putting it, and Abraham wasn't doing like this, he didn't take the knife and start scratching the, hey, God, this is knife, oh, hey, God, hey, this knife, rah, 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 God, hey, neck, hey. Now, he put it to his neck, and the Bible says God spoke from heaven and said, do not lay a hand on that boy. Then he says, now I know. You see, there's a knowing. He knows you by name, but you see, there's a knowing. So you see, for some of us, including myself, God doesn't know us yet. Yeah? Because we have not passed the test. And that's the truth. So he called it worship. Romans 12:1-2, it says, Romans 12:1-2, Paul writes, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This is the New International Version. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Number four, God has demystified and decentralized worship. This is a good thing that we don't have to go through pastors to worship God. Otherwise, pastors would be, I mean, if you are complaining now that pastors are rich, I mean, if you had to go to God through me, just be dropping, every time you worship God on your behalf, just drop 250 pounds. But some pastors are still doing it, right? But see, I don't blame the pastors. It's the muggles that. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, I heard one of my guys in church was telling me about the pastor who went to Israel and said, okay, you know, I'm going to Israel. You guys write whatever you want and just staple your passport to it. I'm telling you facts. All right? So members, 3,000 naira. Non-members, 5,000. And so that he's going to where Jesus walked so that he can pray from there and then receive a word on their behalf. You see, it's not the pastor that I blame. It's the mugus. So it's just a case of mugu meeting maga. It's just, it's just the truth. Praise the name of the Lord. It says Hebrews 4:14-16. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Hebrews 4:14-16. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, if there's anything you need to know as you worship God, you need to kill that Old Testament mentality. Right? Because Jesus has come. And everything that stood, right, in the way between us and God has been taken away. Praise the name of the Lord. So, you know, just wherever you are, just walk to God. And just worship. I mean, listen, tomorrow morning, you may not feel like worshiping God. You see, that's why worship is not about feeling. I mean, there's a song by Hillsong they did a couple of years ago. It says, I say on Sunday, how much I want revival. But then on Monday, I can't even find my Bible. That's true. Here you are on church on Sunday, Father! Then you forgot your Bible. That happens. I'm sure my friends in the choir can testify to that. You feel great on Sunday. On Monday, you don't feel like it. Welcome to the club. But the issue is, are you going to let your feelings get a better part of you? So what do I do? That happens to me. So what do I do? Like a car that refuses to start, as long as it is manual transmission, you can jump start it. So, yeah, just put in a tape, I mean, a CD or your MP3 player or your iPod. Listen to Don Wen or something. It jump starts you. Do you understand? God doesn't say that listening to music on the worship CD is inferior worship. Praise the name of the Lord. You do all you can to remain in that zone. Praise the name of the Lord. Number five, you must know whom you worship. We must know whom we worship. John 4:22. We know that discussion that went on between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Jesus said to her, he says, you Samaritans worship what you do not know, but we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. So who is God? You see, you need to discover God for yourself. And you need, there's one prayer that you need to pray for yourself, that God, give me an encounter. Let me have an encounter with you. You see, because, I mean, if you're the kind of Christian who is in today, out tomorrow, you haven't had an encounter. Now, an encounter can be bloody. An encounter may make you lose all your money. Yeah, I'm telling you stuff. Yeah, I mean, God will orchestrate it in such a way that an encounter is not, I mean, Paul had an encounter. He went blind. Hello? Jonah had an encounter inside the belly of a whale for how many days and nights? Praise the name of the Lord. But you see, you will survive it. And the truth is that you will come out stronger. Yeah. A man called Isaiah had an encounter, and he talks about it in Isaiah chapter 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were the seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Now listen to what this guy says. He says, woe to me, I cried. I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Listen, this guy had prophesied from chapter 1 to 5. Okay? He says, look, I'm a man of unclean lips. He says, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Praise the name of the Lord. Acts 17:22-25. The people who were worshiping God, but they called him the unknown God. But I pray that God himself will reveal himself to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I mean, I'm telling you, it's nothing compares. John 4:10, Jesus saying, he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. In short, he's saying, if you knew me, the way you talk would be different. The way that the frame of our discussion would be different. Praise the name of the Lord. Number six, God is interested in you, more interested in you than what you have to offer. God is more interested in you than what you have to offer. And we can see that in that same John chapter 4:23. It says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. You see, God, yes, God likes to worship, but he's more interested in the worshiper than the worship that is being offered. You see, because God is not, worship is going on, not even 24-7, because God lives outside of time. There are angels, the living creatures, I mean, just offering worship. I mean, that's why I just thank God I'm not an angel. Because these guys don't, you see, I love the way my pastor in school told us about this. You see, the difference between you and the angel is that the angels have a choice, but they cannot express it. You have a choice. You can tell God, I'm not worshiping you. What are you going to do about it? In fact, you see, that's the reason why Satan is so incensed against us. It's not because you are fine or you're handsome. It's because the very thing he did that got him kicked out of heaven, we have done 1,000 times and over, and God still forgives us. What did he do? He was rebellious. How many times have you not been rebellious? Right? He didn't even do it. He just thought about it. He didn't do the thing. He just thought. He just entered his mind that, let me ascend. God says, for where? Hey. Zoop. Now you. God says, hey. Go and do that. God, I don't know. I remember one growing up, I saw this. There was this funny comedy they used to show on TV. So one boy, the father wasn't going to church, so he gave the son, said, oh, you're going to church, okay. So he gave him 20 kobo, two coins, two 10 kobo coins. So the boy was going to church, and then he climbed up a hill and fell down. So as he fell down, no, the father said, take 10 kobo, one, give 10 kobo as the offering, then the other one as to eat. So the guy fell down, and 10 kobo fell out. Guy thought, and he looked up to God, God, that's your 10 kobo. At least if you can do all things, maybe you should just go in search of your go and retrieve it. And that's what we do as people. You know, we take the best for ourselves many times and give God what is left. You know, don't worry, I'm not, I mean, myself inclusive also. Don't think I've got it all worked out. God is more interested in what we have to do in ourselves than what we have to give to him. But you see, we get to a time where everything is now in sync. You know, God wants all of us. And like I said to you, I mean, I'd always vow that God, I mean, don't even think about it. I mean, I can't, pastor, forget it. Can't, never. In fact, the funny thing was that at that time that I started pastoring, I was on the verge of relocating out of Nigeria. It's why my wife can't forgive me to today. You know? You know? And then, boom, something happens, and I had to take over. I mean, it was like God just pushed me. I mean, the pastoring thing I've been on, I remember in 2002, I'd gone for a conference abroad, and I came back. And late pastor Escor, we had a church in Austria, and the pastor there, Pastor Mementayo, had to move. And so they called me and said, okay, they're looking for somebody who had an European passport. Sir, Wale has. Okay, so they called me, hey, Pastor Wale, we need to go to Austria, you know, this is down, oh, they'll pay me this, there's going to be a house. So the pastor that called me said, okay, so I said, no. Ah. He said, you're not even going to pray about it. I said, there's nothing to pray about. You know? I said, there's nothing to pray about. I said, no, I mean, no. She happens to be my provincial pastor today. So the last time she was in my church last year. So that's how I said, I'm sure you're the one who has the last laugh now. praise. So those of you that pastor has been telling to go a pastor, you know, yeah. Oh, don't worry. God will put you in a corner that, you know, you will not be able to. All right. Hey. I'm not saying it's a word of prophecy, just praise the name of the Lord. Number 7, God is forever praised. God is forever praised. God is forever praised. There's a song that that God inspired me to write a couple of years back. It says, if all the men you made stood and praised your name, it still would not match your worth. Now, if all the men you made refused to praise your name, it wouldn't change your worth. And that's the truth. It wouldn't change his worth. I mean, if all of us come together and 7 billion people on the face of the earth form a union and say, God, today we're going on break. We're not praising you. Mm-hmm. Like we say back in Nigeria, no shaking. No shaking. He's forever praised. And that's why, you see, that's why our praise and worship is a free will offering. And we should count it a privilege. You see, we come here, maybe the choir doesn't do so great, and you're thinking, why are they even singing? Listen, the worship is not for you. You understand? It's not for you. It's him. So just join in. And if you think it's that easy, come out. Come out and, you know, come on and sing. Come and play keyboards. Some of you tried. You never... That doesn't absolve us of doing things excellently. But I just need to understand that, because many times we've come to realize that even in church, you know, in trying to, you know, push for excellence, you know, sometimes church can end up being like a show. You know, okay, the word, you know, in church, sometimes I tell them, stop using this thing, this multimedia scripture. Because some people, they won't even come to church with Bible. And you see, you're not going to highlight the screen. You know? Because the day you enter trouble, you're looking for scripture, you say, hey, where's that screen? So sometimes I just tell them, no, don't, to next 1 month, no, no. I'm a multimedia team in church. They are cutting. I said, no scriptures. Read the way I bring your Bible out. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether your Bible is on your iPad, highlighted there, on BB. But see, the funny thing is that some guys bring their BBs to church and they are busy pinging. I mean, one day in church, that's why sometimes, you know, pastoring can be frustrating because you're there, you know, just, and people are just in church doing. One lady was in church and she brought out a BB. And, you know, so one of the guys, yeah, one of my ministers, he's a leading photographer in Nigeria, so he just goes around taking photographs. So he took this lady's photograph with a BB. We looked at it, he said, okay, maybe she was, her Bible was, he was checking her Bible. So Theo said, let's take a close look. So he zooms onto the thing. What were they talking about? She was chatting with somebody, talking about makeup during service. And pastor is here thinking, the Spirit of God is moving. Yo. Please, have mercy on pastor. Praise the name of the Lord. God is forever praised. Romans 1, 21 to 25. Let me just read verse 25 because of time. It says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. He's forever praised. He is forever praised. He inhabits our praises, but his existence is not dependent on it. Do you understand? He inhabits our praises, but his existence is not dependent on it. Praise the name of the Lord. Finally, worship has got to be in spirit and truth. There has to be a connection between your spirit, which is the candle of the Lord, and his spirit. It's not dependent on our feelings, just like I said earlier. I worship him for who he is, and not just because of how I feel or what he has done or not done. I can say like Mary said, I judge you faithful. I judge you faithful. Worship in spirit and in truth. Praise the name of the Lord. Worship in spirit and in truth. I'll just give you, you know, practical stuff, you know. Music, of course, is one of the, let me even just say this, it's happens in church, especially in Pentecostal settings. I mean, the pastor or the worship leader comes out and says, let's just begin to worship the Lord right now. Now, what do you find most people do? Just start going, Mandoro Stakari. Keep quiet, first of all. Can you find words in your own understanding? That's why the Bible says, sing in your understanding and in the spirit. Pray in your understanding and pray in the spirit. I believe that it should be a progressive thing whereby you've exhausted your words in your understanding and then you flow into the spirit. But see, most people just go into the spirit. Listen, and what I love to say is this. Now look, if God, Jesus Christ came sitting down here. Oh no, my wife. And I want to express my love to my wife. She sits down there. Will I go? Mandeke ye satire. Juda barande. What's that? What's that? What's that? And the reason why we just switch it to tongues many times is that we really haven't thought of the words that we can bring to our Redeemer. So think about it. Do you understand? Think about it. Think about something nice. And then when you exhaust it, then you know we can flow into tongues. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So try that. You know, think about, I mean, go out a lot. Observe nature. I mean, you guys are privileged to live here. But I tell them in Nigeria that sometimes I don't like singing the song, "Oh, Lord, my God, when I know some wonder." Because there's nothing that causes us to wonder. Especially people who live in Lagos, you know, who were born in Lagos and lived in Lagos. There's no mountain to see, except maybe UBA building. So, and they haven't walked in places where there's grass. And their shoes haven't been wet by the dew. And all they know is dust. So it's difficult for them. That song doesn't make sense. Hello? Maybe except the lightning. Because even the rainbow refuses to come out. But you know, your privilege here is nature. You can just think about it. So just think and just. That's why that song says, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus, let words come out and just extol God." Have a notepad. Write down your thoughts. You know, the Psalms don't have to end at 150. You can write 151. You can write 152. That's why the Bible says, sing to the Lord in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay? So, that's it. Increase an atmosphere. Listen more. No, I mean, I'm not saying that listen only to Christian music. I mean, there's a whole lot of music out there that are also good. But you see, invest a lot in your hearing, right? Stuff that accentuates the presence of God. Okay? I'm not even going to ask you what's on your iPod. I mean, the other day I was talking to some young people in church and I sat down with them. I said, "Okay, what song are you listening to now?" I mean, I thought I was on the cutting edge knowing what these guys, and they mentioned some names and like, wow. Eh? And they started mentioning the songs. Oh, one mentioned, said, "Stupid Ho." I said, "What?" I said, "Why are you listening to that?" I said, "No, the groove is good and all that." I said, "We're in trouble." I mean, the way you know is when you even call somebody and the ringtone. Somebody in church, you call somebody. Sorry, this is Nigerian. You say, "Bakuruma, hey, oh God." I say, "Ah, hey, that was tight." Ah, God, I must say. Woo! Or you call somebody and Rick told his, "Do me, I do." You say, I'm telling you life instances. I'm telling you life stuff. Now, you see, you need to invest in stuff that talks about the greatness of God. Now, so this morning, can I just ask you to just, if you can, let's just stand to our feet this morning. And in your own words, for the next 1 minute or so, just lift your voice to God and just say, "God, you are." Tell him how great he is. Like we said, you know, don't go speaking in tongues. Just say to God that, "God, you're beautiful. You're beautiful than anything that I know. I've seen the hibiscus flowers. I've seen the rainbow. You certainly are more beautiful than this because you are the creator of all that. The creator of all things visible and invisible. God of gods, Lord of God, Lord of lords. Very light, very light." Excellence.